Good morning, church. My name is Susan Brosford, and our scripture this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in the homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I need some fuel. I need some fuel to get me through today's service, to get me through this morning. And fuel is really popular these days, so I brought in some energy drinks. I brought in some staff favorites, yeah? My operations guy, this is his favorite, yeah? Mountain Dew, yeah? A lot of stuff in that. And then we got Celsius, the new energy drink. Yeah, anybody like the Celsius or Mountain Dew? Anyone? Mountain Dew? Got a waiver here, okay? Nobody else? You guys are all very righteous. You all drink water all the time. What about this? Monster. Monster. Anybody drink this? Anyone? Nobody. One at the back. I see you all the way back there. Yeah. So anybody with just the plain old Java juice? Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now we got a lot of sinners out there, right? Yeah. Energy. Fuel. That is what we need to get through our week. That's what we need to get through today. And we're on week two of our sermon series on fire, or what is going to refuel us or refire. And we've got a fire triangle in order for us to figure out how to keep a fire going. My name is Keith Harcombe, by the way, and if I haven't met you yet, I'd love to meet you in the lobby. But in order to have a fire starter, in order for us to fuel a fire, there's three key elements. Say them with me. We need oxygen, heat, and fuel. Last week we talked about heat and how God brought the heat on Mount Carmel and how he like just totally destroyed all the things of chemistry, all the rules of chemistry, and brought the heat even though there was water on the fuel and in and amongst the oxygen. But what do we need, of course, to fuel our faith? How do we keep our fire going? Are these drinks, this fuel, going to keep us going for long? No, not really. What is it that's going to fuel our faith? How are we going to stay fired up for the rest of 2023? How are we going to be the kind of people that stay on fire the same kind of way that they were on Mount Carmel? What is going to give us fuel? 30 years ago, I had an encounter not unlike what happened on Mount Carmel. I realized that Jesus loved me in a small room in the southwest of England. In a place where the Royal Navy trained for war, I experienced amazing peace. And it was an encounter that I'll never forget. Not long after that, almost synonymous with that, I met some people who taught me what I needed to keep that fire going for 30 years. And they met with me and talked about the scriptures. And right away, I went on a ship and I bumped into some people who were faithful followers of Jesus in and amongst this warship. There's 270 people on this ship. There was 9 of us meeting for friendship and fellowship, and to do the kind of things that would keep us fueled up. Of course, we met together and had devotions. There was devotions like read the Bible for a bit, listen to what somebody else said about the Bible, and then talk about it. We met together, we ate together, we had communion together, we met once a week in a small room for friendship, we had church at sea. Now, church at sea is a lot different than having church here. There's a few people from lots of different denominations, from different backgrounds around the country. And in order for us to have church and to sing, I had a little box about this big with pre-programmed hymns, choruses, and songs. So if you wanted to sing, I don't know, Lord Jesus Christ, you plan the number in 3, 2, 1, you press the number, and there'd be a little intro song. Ding, 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 ding. Ding, ding. And then you'd all sing along to the dings, yeah? And that was church. And we all sang along and we all had church together. We all worshiped together with a common hymn and a common song. We ate together. Not only did we eat together on the ship, when we hit the wall, when the ship got alongside, we would meet in other people's homes, random people, and they would take us to their church. And we'd have fellowship, a common bond with each other. We would experience comfort. We'd experience encouragement. And we'd share in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Like, how has the Holy Spirit impacted my life? And how has it impacted your life? In the middle of the ocean, I learned from these people early on what it was that was going to fuel my fire and how I was going to get by for the next 30 years. Years. I learned from other people. I learned what it meant to follow Christ in and amongst the boring days of life. What is it that you are doing to fuel your fire? I don't know, maybe you've made a resolution. Maybe you said, I'm going to do something different this year. I'm going to say different things, not say things. I'm going to read something, I'm going to not read something. What is it that's fueled your fire? Now, we know that these things last about 30 minutes, and it doesn't really give us enough energy to get us by in our day. I would like to think that because you listen to me for 25 minutes a week, that is enough fuel to keep you going for the rest of the week, right? It's not. It's not. It's like an energy drink. It lasts a little bit of time, and it just fizzles away. What is it that you are using? What is it that you are doing to keep your fire fueled? In the scriptures that were read today, it was in Acts of the Apostles. What happened after Jesus appeared mightily? 120 of them, believers, gathered in Jerusalem, and at the celebration of Pentecost, the 50 days, and something massive happened there. God really brought the heat. Literally, there was fire on people's heads. People spoke and heard their language being spoken. And the number of people gathered went from 120 to 3,000. Now that is when God brought the heat. And it was an amazing event. Everyone was astounded and was in wonder and awe. And then Simon Peter, the one whom denied Jesus 3 times, did this amazing sermon. And he says to the people, now repent, realign, and be baptized. And they had like mass baptism in Jerusalem. And everyone was encouraged, and everyone was excited. It was a major moment. But what happened after that? How did the disciples, the new believers, how did the apostles continue to be fueled up? Oh, we're going to read it again here. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. If you've got your Bible with you, open it. If you're taking notes on your phone, open that too. If you're not on it already, just kidding. Pastor Joe. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 42. Listen to the fuel. All the believers, oh, by the way, Luke is writing this scripture. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing the meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. So four elements, they're called the pillars of the church. Four elements that the believers did. So when it says the believers, the 3,000 people that were in Jerusalem that were completely transformed on that day. Here we go. They devoted themselves to what? The apostles' teaching. Now, the apostles' teaching was what we have in our four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, before Acts. And there were other sayings and other things that the apostles had been doing that they gleaned from them, that they heard them say to one another. So the first thing is that they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. What else were they devoted to? Fellowship. Thank you. Fellowship. That's kind of a funky word. It's the first thing you hear when you hear the fellowship. You hear, I don't know, fellowship of the ring or something like that. But fellowship means meeting with people who have a common bond with you. Of course, the common bond that we have is the fact that we all believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? And that's the fellowship that they were devoted to. Not riding bikes. It wasn't a funky book club. It wasn't woodwork. It was about Jesus Christ. And that was the fellowship. So two things, devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing. Some of these we do good. To sharing in meals. We do that really well, don't we? Sharing meals. Now, I don't just mean in restaurants. I don't just mean, oh, let's meet here and go for food together. I mean, these people invited them into each other's homes, and they shared with each other what they had. I would say this is an evangelistic thing, too, meaning that we can reach others for Jesus by inviting them into our home. Come, share with me. See what I am like. See the family that I have. Come and see what it happens in my home, and share food with me, including the Lord's Supper, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and to what? Last one, prayer. Pray with people, pray for people, adore God, confess to God, give thanksgiving to God, give up those people in your life that you'd love to see transformed for Christ. Prayer, praying for one another. So they're the four things. Let's say them together. Apostles' teaching, to fellowship, sharing in meals, and to prayer. So they're the four foundational, the pillars of the church of which the new believers, the 3,000, committed themselves to. So that's the first fuel things. That's the first, like, energy drinks, if you like. A deep sense of awe came over, verse 43, a deep sense of awe came over them all. The apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. A deep sense of awe, a wow, an amazement of what God was doing and what God has done. And the apostles, so the 11, they performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together and shared everything they had. They sold their property. This is verse 45. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money they had with those in need. Now, it's important to note a couple of things here. They met together in one place and shared everything. They shared their property, and apparently they had property, and they shared their possessions. Now, this wasn't a requirement. This is not something you had to do to be a believer. This wasn't, hey, put your money in the pot like everybody else. This wasn't communism. This was out of an overwhelming awe, an overwhelming sense of gratitude because of what God had done for them. And they wanted others to experience that for them too. They wanted them to know, others to know, this life-transforming power of Christ. And so, overwhelmingly, especially with these scriptures, they became generous. How nice it is to be around people who are generous, amen? When you're with people that are out of an abundance, they're not trying to win you over with money, they're not trying to win you over with favor. I did that for you, so you should do that for me. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. No, it wasn't any of that. This was an overwhelming sense of awe, an overwhelming sense of thankfulness that something had happened for them, and they wanted others. They wanted it to happen for others too. Money was involved. A transformation happened in their heart, which moved from their head all the way down to their wallet, wherever they kept that. And they were able to share with financially. And Pastor Kathy shared how you have all been generous and had an open heart and shared with others in our area, even just locally in Palm Harbor, who are in need. And they have been the recipients of your favor and your open-hearted generosity. Thank you for doing that. You get that bit. Some of these we do well. Verse 46, they worshiped together in the temple each day, met in their homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. So they worshiped together. Now, the Jews did not give up the Jewish things they did. This wasn't like, that's a load of rubbish, I'm done with that, that's over, I'm moving on to being a Christian and listening to Chris Tomlin songs. No, that wasn't it at all. Yeah, they continued the Jewish prayers 7 times a day. They continued meeting in the temple where they'd grown up. And then after being in the temple and after doing the normal Jewish things, their normal Hebrew things, they met after that too. When I was in the Navy, we got kind of a name for ourselves on this particular ship. Yeah, we were called like the God Squad. Yeah, people started like, making fun of us. And we called the God Squad, we were called the Jesus Freaks. Thank you. I lost something. We were called the Jesus Freaks. We were called the Devil Dodgers. Which I kinda like that one. And the Jews, the Christian Jews, the ones who decided to follow Jesus, were actually detested by the Jews because they'd found this other way. And the Romans hated the Jews, and the Jews hated the followers of the way, the Christians, so they were kind of doubly hated. They were like, you know, the Jesus freaks in the group. And they would meet after church, after the temple, in the courtyard area, and share this thing that they'd had. And they'd meet in each other's homes. And they'd share communion together, or what we did last week, the Lord's Supper. And they would be so glad that they were able to do this, that they shared it with others. Out of an overwhelming sense of understanding what God had done in their lives. We weren't bothered about being called Jesus freaks, God Squad. We weren't bothered about being called Devil Dodgers because we'd found something new. We'd found something beautiful. We'd found something that was going to take over our lives. And we want other people to know this too. And this is the fuel that was keeping us going. Those people that I met 30 years ago are still friends today. I can still text them right now, and they respond to me. Those people that fueled my fire all the way back there before I had a cell phone would still be able to talk about the fuel that we have today. And this fellowship fueled their lives and fueled what it meant to follow Christ. The last verse says, all the while they were praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day
the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Notice they were praising God. They were praising God for what they had. They were enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And because of that, not because of some fancy thing they had going on, not because they were able to market to the people correctly, not because of the new flashy light system, but because they were devoted to their Lord who had changed their life completely. They were devoted. Why? It was attractive. It was something that people wanted to add to their lives. William Barclay, when he talks about this, he says, winsome attractiveness, that is what attracts people to Jesus. Real Christianity is a lovely thing. Amen. Fuel is kind of boring. You know, you always need it. You always need to have it somewhere. Reading your Bible sometimes, boring maybe. Meeting together, meeting with people that you don't particularly want to meet with. But fuel keeps us moving on. There's not always this great big outpouring of the Spirit. There's not always this amazing Mount Carmel experience. Fuel keeps us moving along, whether the seas are up and down or whether it's just plain sailing. Fuel keeps us moving on in our relationship with Christ. Have you ever noticed, if you've ever watched the coal fire, or even a wood fire, and when the white hot coal falls out of the fire, it's not white anymore, it goes from white to red, and then eventually, just fizzles out. It's almost like we were made for community, and we were meant to live together and meant to have fellowship together. It was meant to be that we should share the scriptures with one another, that we should worship together. John Wesley called these the simple, normal means of grace, how we see God. And for those of you who think it's boring, sometimes I do too. Those of you who think it's boring, Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message translation of the Bible, he said it's just a long obedience in the same direction. Keep moving forward. Keep reading your Bible. And this is not about guilt, about, oh, I should have done my devotion this morning. This is not about having guilt for not giving when you should have. This is not about having guilt about what you fellowship you had and you, oh, I missed meeting with my group this week. This is about wanting to have joy. This is about wanting to have that same kind of joy that you had when you first tasted what it meant to follow Christ. I want to keep this going. I want to worship again. And whether you've got like a little box planning in your number or whether there's this explosive experience of worship, we want to know Jesus every day in our normal, everyday walking in our life. Amen? This is the fuel. This is the fuel that keeps us going. This is what it is that keeps us moving along and keeps our fame going. We don't go from 120 to 3,000 every week. We don't move from this great fire event and expect that every week. As a Jew, it was really a privilege to be asked to follow a rabbi. And if a rabbi walked up to you and says, follow me, you would be so excited to follow him that you would do everything that the rabbi did just the way he did. And you would follow him wherever he went. You would read the scrolls like him. You would go to the marketplace like him. You would greet people and talk to people like the rabbi did. You would even go to the bathroom like him. And back then, you didn't have asphalt, you didn't have nice roads and shoes. And if you followed your rabbi close enough, it was said that you were following in the dust of your rabbi. So if you're really dusty, then you start to look like your rabbi. And my challenge to you today is, are you dusty? Are you following enough, fueling yourself enough so that somebody could say, oh, he or she is dusty because they are following their rabbi? These energy drinks, they'll give you a little jolt. But the fuel that I want you to follow is the plain old things that the apostles did. Meeting together in worship, following the apostles' teaching, sharing bread with one another, doing things together because you have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, sharing communion together. What is it that fuels your life? It's the apostles' teaching. It's the scripture, a commitment to the scripture, and a belief that the Holy Spirit is in and at work in and amongst you. This is it. This is what we need. This is what fuels our faith. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have provided fuel for our lives. You provided places that we could continue to engage with you in and amongst our lives. We pray, Lord, that we would be fueled up so that we see more of you. We pray, Lord, that we would be fueled up so that we could be witnesses to the love at work in us. We ask, Lord, you would give us strength to do this. You would place that fire within us once again. We ask this all in your precious and holy name. And everybody said, amen.